Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danka, Bharti Jagdish, and Ryan Huang with you.
Yep. And our next issue really, really does matter, especially if you have a healthcare record of any kind. You will be concerned about this. Cyber attacks in the healthcare space apparently getting worse as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic as well, as we all move online and all these records are kept online as well.
Yeah. So this is according to Interpol's 2021 ASEAN Cyber Threat Assessment Report. Healthcare's massive responsibility made the sector one of the top five most frequently attacked industries in ASEAN. So obviously, we are at risk of a cyber pandemic.
That's a good way of putting it, although it's such bad news, right? Yeah, so from one pandemic to another, and one apparently has led to another to some extent. The cases don't seem to be stopping anytime soon, and it doesn't even seem to matter how thick the firewalls are. The bad guys are just getting badder.
Yeah, well, we've grown accustomed to practicing good hygiene. Now we've got to practice good cyber hygiene and focus on patients. Kamal Bra, who is Vice President and General Manager, Asia Pacific and Japan for Rubrik, is online to help us out with this. Kamal, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good, Kamal. Thanks for joining us today. Tell us more about the magnitude of this problem. In other words, an overview of Interpol's assessment report, why we should be so worried about this.
Yeah, look, I think you've covered it. Well, I mean, last 18, 24 months, you've seen COVID hit, you've seen telemedicine come across. Just the nature of what we're dealing in the last 18, 24 months has just kind of exaggerated the nature of these attacks. And unfortunately, if you think of healthcare, we're all very conscious on the data. We're conscious on the services provided in healthcare in general. So just the nature of these services and the fact that we're impacting people, there's a tremendous amount of value to that. So that's led to some bad characters, obviously focusing and targeting healthcare service providers. We've seen breaches in the last 10 months, or at least specifically in Southeast Asia and even in Singapore. We've seen significant breaches occur, and unfortunately, that's compromised some of the patient data, which we know of. Mm-hmm. But fundamentally, I think it's a very complex problem, and we're dealing with a new environment. We've had to introduce contact tracing, new applications, and just a different approach to how we're actually thinking about this and modernizing, in some ways, a very legacy stack. I mean, if you think of healthcare service providers, there are a lot of connected devices. There are multiple applications, multiple network segments in providing these services. And having to modernize this at scale is a challenge. And I think that's where, you know, we're having to be very careful in how we're going to approach these unfortunately, bad characters, and provide the best protection for our patients and obviously service providers.
We mentioned that there were five most frequently attacked sectors. So, apart from healthcare, who else made that list?
Again, it's usually the financial services is top of the list. Of course, you know, a lot of incidents occur in that domain. We're seeing more telcos being hit, retail, e-commerce. Again, probably in the top three. So those are probably the most obvious ones to go after, simply, again, because we see more e-commerce transactions, online shopping. We see a lot more services move to digital banking or in digital domain. And again, same on the telco services side. We're seeing more value-added services moving into that digital domain. So those are probably the most obvious places where you see a lot more consumer-based access. And, of course, people wanting to modernize their interaction as they've had to in the last 18 months. We don't have a choice to always walk into a store. We've had to do that through a digital service or a bot or some type of online engagement.
Let's talk about the impact on day-to-day life and the decisions that healthcare institutions or governments might make if they were the victim of a cyber attack. I mean, how bad could it get? Because I've also heard of stories of, we're not just talking about hackers stealing patient data, we're talking about hackers finding out secrets or uncovering secrets, such as what goes into a vaccine, what makes it effective. And then because of vaccine nationalism, there could be huge repercussions for something like that. Or hackers planting false information about healthcare issues. So what exactly are we talking about in terms of the breadth of destruction that could be caused by a cyber attack?
Yeah, and we've seen that at scale. I mean, obviously in healthcare, it's extremely sensitive, but I'm sure most of the listeners have seen Colonial Pipeline was hit over the last 6 months, and that was massive infrastructure impact in the US. And I think the mission-critical services in healthcare, in energy, these are all mission-critical, which impact daily lives. And so I think you alluded to vaccinations and having access to trade secrets around vaccination, all of these directly impact citizens. And I think ultimately, when we think about how governments need to approach it, I mean, what we're seeing is a move towards a zero trust foundational framework. And that foundational framework is really built on three core principles. And really the principles evolve around trust no one, validate and verify always. You know, we've lived in a world where, you know, generally when we access certain systems or applications, once we're authenticated or trusted, we can continue to go on about our business. But in the new world of zero trust, we're moving to a model where we always continuously verify and authenticate. But also the other two pieces linked to that is we assume at some point in time we will be compromised. I mean, Colonial Pipeline, no one expected that scale of infrastructure and obviously encryption and the ransomware hit that occurred at that scale crippled the supply chain capability. And now in that context, it's about we know it's going to happen. It's how quickly can you respond? So understanding the impact and what we refer to as the blast radius is really important to be able to understand how you respond. And then, of course, the most important part is mediating and recovering from these incidents. Given the complex nature of these attacks, it requires multiple stakeholders, it requires multiple technology approaches, and having that outlined and having that approach documented, and more importantly, having the ability to reproduce these incidents at scale and automate that contextual response is critical to making it efficient. So I think that's the approaches that governments are taking. The governments have, in the US in particular, they've outlined zero trust principles as a foundational framework to provide an approach to addressing some of these core issues.
Would you say that COVID is a bit of a catalyst for attacks on the healthcare system to increase by so much? I mean, at the end of the day, for these cyber criminals, what's the end game here? They make the data vulnerable. What kind of money are we talking about?
Well, there's definitely large dollars, unfortunately, related to these incidents, just the nature of the services. I mean, if today a healthcare service provider isn't able to treat patients, you know, that's a massive impact, not just to obviously their revenues, but in just patient care and quality of that patient care. So, you know, given that is so important, we've seen hospitals being hit with ransomware attacks and it's had to actually shut down hospitals in providing care for patients. So, I think the data breach is, of course, one element of it. You know, we're all very sensitive to data breaches. But if we're living in COVID, or if we're not just in COVID, if we're looking at patient care in general and we're not able to access those services, which we assume are available, we can walk into an hospital. But if suddenly we find the hospital service provider isn't able to access the systems or provide that basic care, it's a really challenging position for any government, for any citizen, unfortunately. So I think that's happened in the last 12 months. We've seen hospitals go off completely across Australia, across the U.S., And that's been an unfortunate situation. So they have no choice. They have to pay, unfortunately, large amounts of dollars. You know, in the Colonial Pipeline example, it was $5 million US dollars. So there's a lot of money at stake.
It does sound as if the COVID-19 crisis, in fact, unraveled a lot of the pre-existing protections that were in place. I mean, there were reports that when they were unprepared for the surges, many hospitals were actually forced to reallocate resources from admin functions to patient care. So a lot of data protection measures also fell by the wayside. Considering what's happened, yet with the threat of cyber attacks going up, how exactly can healthcare institutions begin to correct this? What concrete steps should they be taking right now?
Yeah, and I think healthcare providers in particular, but generally, I think it's really three again areas. Of course, technology is key. We've got to have the foundational technology in place, so that's perimeter, application, network. And then more importantly, what we're really focused on is really an approach of inside out. We're assuming you will be hit. It's a matter of time. And then really focused on protecting the mission critical data and securing and protecting that data, its availability, and making that immutable. So that's kind of how we're approaching the problem. But apart from the technology, I think the other two elements that you can't underestimate around people and process. You know, there is a realization we're seeing more and more of these attacks, unfortunately, continue to be, you know, at the forefront with people providing some potential exposure. And so having people trained, having them educated on the potential risks as we move to network-based access, as we move to remote access, or even as I gave an example in healthcare with telemedicine, more SaaS-based applications. As we do that, we need them to be to train and be aware of the potential risk and exposure related to those services that we're providing and how we can secure them, and then also being mindful where potential flaws and risk could occur. I think the other part, of course, is our own process. You know, all this makes great sense. We know we have technology. We know we have people trained, but we still continue to see these breaches occur, and unfortunately, these incidents occur because the nature of these attacks become more sophisticated. So having a very clear process on how we do recovery, and I think if you can ask around, you know, what is your remediation plan and how do you recover in the instance when, you know, you will be hit, I think that's an area that most organizations today don't have a very good picture of. And so I think those three things have to tie in hand around technology, the people aspect, and of course the process, which is how do we remediate from this?
Kamal, I have an opinion question for you, though. What are your thoughts on how, say, a hospital management structure needs to change in light of the increase in healthcare attacks? Obviously, more focus on tech because you don't want to disrupt the patients.
Yeah, look, I think the change is really just around, again, the blending of the legacy and the legacy stack and the modernized stack.
Okay.
We've seen last 12 months, as these services move to more modernized, remote, SaaS-based, fragmented data and fragmented access of these applications, that's required some changes in terms of the thought process on how we secure and make sure that we're actually kind of bringing together the best of both worlds. I mean, when you go into a hospital, you've got connected devices, IoT devices, where patient care data is being managed on systems which are probably, you know, somewhat 5-10 years old. And then you suddenly move to a model where now you're providing, as well as possible, results over the internet, providing them through applications, providing them to some type of interface which is linked to, even like, take for example your COVID testing, all now automated through some applications, bringing that together in a seamless manner, and then having clear segmentation of the data and classifying the segmentation of the data, I think it's really important, so that you're kind of limiting the exposure. So ultimately, if you are hit and impacted in some nature, you kind of streamline somewhat of a response, but also mitigate the potential exposure across the entire application or network stack.
I wonder, Kamal, if you could give us an idea of what the climate is like in Singapore and what the narrative and understanding of cyber threats in the Singapore healthcare institutions is like. Are people on board with it? I mean, are healthcare practitioners as individuals able to understand and appreciate the severity and seriousness of this issue enough to take those steps that you talked about earlier? You know, how each individual has to practice cyber hygiene as well?
Yeah. So I think Singapore, of course, I think we're at the forefront. We do see some good practice and adoption of modern technologies. I think, again, in our case, we're lucky that we're seeing a lot more of the zero trust principles being enforced. We're seeing cyber resiliency initiatives in place already across the healthcare sector. And if we look at hospitals across the board in Singapore, we see that uptake being pretty, I would say, proactively in Singapore, whereas in Southeast Asia, I think that's where we see more challenges, where consistency in the programs, the consistency in just the technology implementation is lagging. And I think that's the opportunity. And again, Singapore is very privileged to have some of the most sophisticated technologies. And I think the general perception is we need to get ahead of the game. And so I think we've seen that across our customers. We've seen that where customers have asked for warranties related to, you know, protecting their systems. And I think that's been a new mindset. You think about insurance service providers are now saying, look, if you don't have certain technology implementations, we can't secure you for ransomware policies. So I think in Singapore, the mindset is definitely more forward-looking and willing to take a very aggressive approach to protecting systems, protecting the healthcare industry in general. Southeast Asia, we've got a long way to go.
Kamal Brah, who is Vice President and General Manager, Asia-Pacific and Japan for Rubrik. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning, Kamal. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thanks for your time. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.